Okay, I'm the next presenter. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a soil scientist with ARS at Tifton, Georgia. And the title of my presentation is Use of Floating Vegetated Mats to Remove Nutrients from Surface Waters. I'm going to skip, in the interest of time, skip past the acknowledgments. The objective of this work, a series of studies was conducted to investigate the potential of using floating vegetation to improve the quality of wastewaters. The fundamental concept is to grow vegetation on floating platforms in the water body, and then by periodic harvesting and removal of the biomass, have direct removal of the nutrients from the wastewater. The first study we did, which is published in a 2004 journal paper, we dealt with swine lagoon wastewater. This is what I would call a moderately contaminated wastewater, and we tested three different plant species, a cattail, a soft rush, and a manuka, a maiden cane. And this is a schematic of the design where we had replicated individual tanks with each of the treatments, and we worked with a full-strength wastewater, a half-strength wastewater, and then a control where we used a Hoagland solution. This is the University of Georgia Swine Research Facility, and I say we used moderately contaminated wastewater because this was their second lagoon, and it had an aerator on it so that quite a bit of the nitrogen was being lost. And this is the size tank we used for the floating vegetation. And the results of this first study, we found that our cattail grew best, and over a 15-month period, it produced about 16,000 grams per square meter biomass and removed 530, about 80, and 560 grams per square meter of N, P, and K. Our second study, since this had been successful, we wanted to see if we could go to an extremely contaminated water, a single-stage lagoon at a commercial hog farm. And this work was done in 2006 to 2007, and we tested water which was pretty high in nitrogen. The total nitrogen amount was about 163 parts per million N, mostly in the ammonium form, nitrate about 3 parts per million, and you can see the figures for phosphorus. There was a lot of potassium and a lot of sodium in the wastewater. We did a pre-study until we came up with 5 plant species that looked like they would do pretty well on this quality of water. We worked with the common Bermuda grass, Tifton 85 Bermuda grass, St. Augustine grass, a fall panicum, and we tried giant reed. And sprig plants and onto the platforms of August of 2005, and then made cuttings in 2006 and 2007. Plant biomass was dried, weighed, and analyzed for NPK, aluminum, boron, copper, iron, manganese, sodium, and zinc. So this is the anaerobic wastewater lagoon. This was receiving the waste from about 3,000 hogs on a daily basis. Here you can see the type of platform we used. It's a polypropylene square with a hollowed out center and a coir material which covers the center, and here you see the plants being sprigged onto it, and this is what it looked like after several months of growth. And this also was a replicated study where we pulled the platforms to shore and harvested the material whenever it reached full growth. Here's the total biomass from all the cuttings. What we found was that the grasses, the common Bermuda grass and the Tifton 85 Bermuda grass, both performed pretty well in the 3,000 to 3,500 grams per square meter range of dried biomass. The St. Augustine did very poorly and, in fact, died. Giant reed started out well the first year, died the second year. The fall panicum, which was a species which was already occurring on the side of the lagoon and, in fact, in some cases had floated out onto the lagoon, it also did quite well. Here are the mean N, P, and K in the plant tissue. pretty much, you see the two grasses, as you might expect, are very similar, about 3% nitrogen, fall panicum about the same, and then because there was quite a bit of potassium, they also absorbed quite a bit of potassium. So the conclusions from this second study of a floating mat system were that three of the five selected species successfully produced biomass on all four platforms. And here are the total amounts in the 3,000 to 3,500 range. The two grasses did a little bit better than the fall panicum. So the removal of N, P, and K from the lagoon by the plants was primarily a function of the biomass produced, since there was little difference in nutrient uptake. And here are the values for the common Bermuda grass, about 100, about 30 and 60 grams per square meter of N, P, and K. Tifton 85 Bermuda grass, just a little bit higher. And the fall panicum, a little bit, a little bit lower. The third study is one which is just in the finishing up stages. And here we switched from a very highly contaminated hog lagoon wastewater to aquaculture wastewater. And this study is being conducted at the University of Georgia Aquaculture Research Unit in Tifton, Georgia, where they do experiments with both fish and shrimp. We had worked with the concept, well, in the previous studies, we simply measured biomass and the nutrient content of the cut plants. We did not address any changes in the water quality of the wastewater itself because it's so highly contaminated. But here we put in a system of aquaculture tanks where we would pump the wastewater from one tank to the next on a three-week cycle and basically use hydroponics to clean the wastewater. So again, we did a pretest to see which plant species would work the best, and we came up with three plant species that potentially could grow in aquaculture. This was a cattail, a soft rush, and an iris. And this is the circulation pattern, which was every 3 weeks. The third tank is drained into a retention pond, the tank two into tank three, tank one into tank two, and then the tank one received the fresh wastewater from the aquaculture pond. And we had three reps of each set of tanks, and so each set of tanks contained the same species, cattail, iris, or soft rush. And we also had a control, which was wastewater with no planted, no floating mat with vegetation. And when you go to aquaculture wastewater, it's a very different type of wastewater. You've only got 3 milligrams per liter total Caldwell nitrogen. Ammonia and nitrate are low. Phosphate is also low, but there is a fair amount of potassium. So you might think that aquaculture wastewater might not have a contamination problem, but it does have a contamination problem. This is your typical aquaculture pond, and they become quickly overgrown with algae, and in fact, the scientist that works at the aquaculture unit is constantly fighting an algae problem. So here's our setup with the individual tanks, as shown at a distance. Here you can see the tanks with iris. This particular set of three has the soft rush. This was the iris at planting. This was the iris late in the summer of 2010. So you can see they have grown considerably. This is what a control tank looks like, where all we're doing is moving the water every 3 weeks, and you get tremendous algal growth, which was largely suppressed in the tanks with the floating mats. Here's an example. The first tank of the series, you had pretty good growth of the iris. When you look at the third tank, where you've already stripped out the N and P in tanks 1 and tanks 2, the plants did not grow nearly as high or produce nearly as much biomass. Here's the soft rush in tank 1. In contrast, by the time you get to tank 3, you have very little growth of the soft rush. I should point out that we used a different design on the floating mats. This is still the polypropylene, but since we were instead of trying to cover the entire center, we had circular holes with the coir material put into the hole. So the results of this third study is that the iris flourished in the low nutrient level aquaculture wastewater, the soft brush grew very slowly, and the cattail were unsuitable for improving the quality of aquaculture wastewater. I put up here the NP and K in iris tissue samples, and you see that little difference in the nitrogen content of the tissue samples or the phosphorus content, but we were getting a decrease in the potassium content as we went from tank 1 to tank 3. Here's the nitrate concentrations in the wastewater in the three different tanks. You can see the steady decrease from tank 1 to tank 3 in March of 2010. Same patterns in April, June, and means for the entire summer of 2010, going up from about 0.09 down to 0.03. So the summary on the aquaculture study was the iris was the only one of the species which performs well on aquaculture wastewater, and that the iris were successfully reducing the nitrate levels. So the overall conclusions from this set of studies: one, floating vegetated mats can be successfully grown on highly contaminated wastewater. Second, suitable vegetation species were closely related to the quality of the wastewater. We could grow grasses on the highly contaminated anaerobic wastewater lagoon, but when we tried grasses on the aquaculture wastewater, they died. There was not enough nitrogen. And then finally, the N concentrations in the aquaculture wastewater were reduced by the floating vegetation. Are there any questions?